Today on Maine Calling, the non-alc trend takes off. These days, you can find all sorts of no-alcohol adult drinks on the shelves. Not just beer, but also wine and spirits. And their sales are surging. Last year, up 29% from the year before. The shift reflects a growing awareness of the negative health effects of alcohol, yes, but there are other reasons to cut back, too. Avoiding that sluggish feeling. Being more present for loved ones. Feeling sharp. Saving money. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we dive into the non-alc trend. We'll learn about the latest evidence concerning the health dangers of alcohol. And we'll find out about some popular Maine companies at the forefront of the non-alc trend. Are you thinking of cutting back? Maybe trying Dry January? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Chances are, during upcoming holiday gatherings or social events, there will be people drinking a non-alcoholic beer or mocktail. That's because more people are opting to reduce or eliminate alcohol, often for health reasons. Today, we're going to learn about the growing interest in going alcohol-free. We'll also talk about some of the latest research about the effects of alcohol on the body. Joining me, Johanna Corman, who is co-founder of Vena's Fizz House, Alan LaPointe, co-owner of non-alcoholic brewery, 1820 Brewing Company, part of Geary Brewing Company, and Dr. Jim Wolak, psychiatrist with Maine Behavioral Health. We invite you to join the conversation. Are you trying to cut down on alcohol? Why? How's it going? Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all so much for joining us. I just learned this morning that tomorrow is the heaviest drinking day of the year. So I know that some people call it Drinksgiving or Blackout Wednesday. So our timing couldn't be better. I didn't know that when we were planning the show for today. Dr. Wolak, just yesterday, an article in the New York Times saying that alcohol deaths have doubled in a very short period of time. It seems as though every time you think about this topic, do some research on it, new evidence coming out. So sum up what we know today about alcohol's effects on the body and whether or not drinking one or two drinks a night is harmless.
Yeah, you know, and this topic, the role of alcohol in our lives can be very confusing to people because it's such a big part of our culture. We have our social networks often heavily involve alcohol, and it's something that can bring a lot of pleasure to people's lives, but at the same time, it can cause a lot of suffering and damage. And recently, there's been increasing evidence coming out that really demonstrates the clear health impacts of alcohol. When I came of age in the early 90s, there was a popular idea that alcohol had health benefits. And I think that was related to some thoughts about red wine and inflammation. But recently, it's been shown to be pretty clear that alcohol has deleterious effects on heart health. It's a clear carcinogenic agent. It's been linked to several different cancers. And not to mention the emotional and psychological impacts that alcohol can have in terms of disinhibiting people and leading to risky behaviors. So it's clear that alcohol is not healthy in any amount, but yet it's still such a big part of many people's lives.
And Dr. Wolak, people quit alcohol for health reasons, but there are other reasons as well. What do you hear from people you work with?
Yeah, you know, I think people traditionally would associate harmful health impacts on heavy alcohol drinking, but more and more people are beginning to realize that even light and moderate use can have negative impacts in terms of interfering with their judgment, their inhibition. It can lead to a lot of nasty dinner time arguments. People more and more are realizing that they can avoid hangovers the following day if they avoid heavy drinking. So people are beginning to recognize, in addition to the long-term health consequences, that there may be some short-term effects of drinking as well.
Johanna, you started Vena's Fizz House back in 2013, and that was before the non-alc trend really took off. Tell us why at that time you chose to offer non-alcoholic beverages and some examples of what you make. And I also want to note that Vena's Fizz House is not an actual bar anymore, but you do still sell your products, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. So take us back to 2013 and what your thinking was then and what you found the reception was.
Well, we started, yes, in 2013, you're correct. And we weren't starting our bar as a, quote, non-alcohol bar. We started it more as an alternative to maybe a coffee shop or smoothie bar. And that's just because I didn't drink those things in the middle of the day. I love seltzer. So I got this idea of setting up a bar, just like a regular bar. But I loved old-fashioned ingredients also. And I pictured us having, you know, bartenders putting in bitters and tonics and fresh berries and fruits, shaking, muddling, just like a regular bar, only at the end they'd add seltzer. So you're getting kind of a healthy seltzer. And just thought it was more of an alternative for people that wanted to stop in and have a refreshing drink during the day. But what we quickly learned... we were almost laughed out of, I think, Portland when people would come in. They thought it was a bar and they'd find out we didn't have alcohol. And it didn't register with them. You know, they'd laugh. And then we actually found after we were open for about a year that people were smuggling in nip bottles and adding alcohol to the mocktails. So anyway, that kind of gave us the idea that it kind of was a lightning, you know, flash moment where we were like, you know, I think people want a choice. And in a regular bar back then, 2013, they really didn't have a choice. You know, you could get a Shirley Temple or, you know, a club soda with lime. And anyway, that's how we started that. And then we quickly started to learn a lot more about the non-alcohol trend.
Yeah, and here we are in 2024. Sales are surging. Are you seeing sales of your product surging as more and more people are adopting a non-alcoholic lifestyle?
Yes, our products that we make our mantra has always been where cocktails and mocktails are created equal. We just want people to have the choice. And definitely it started off much more of the cocktail end, but we have seen the trend definitely rise, especially in the last, I'd say, 3 years. Toward the non-alcohol side of the biz.
Alan, I'm going to turn to you and let's talk about beer. I have to say, I will confess, I barely drink. And I'm so grateful for the non-alcoholic beers that are out there and the variety there are. And some of them are very, very good. It used to be, though, you'd go somewhere and you were lucky if they served Athletic, and now such a variety. Tell us about the 1820 brewing journey of becoming the force that it is.
Yeah, it's grown dramatically. And I think it started, we got into the industry in 2017 with the purchase of Dairy Brewing Company. And really, there was so much energy around craft beer and bringing out new unique styles, new flavor profiles. And then when we saw the transition with Athletic, you're starting to see more sober curious people that were wanting to celebrate life with everyone else, but felt a little bit uncomfortable if they went to a bar. So having those other alternatives, and when Athletic came out, which was the leader in the industry, they showed people that you can have a product that looks the same, smells the same, but you don't have, you could be the designated driver. You could be someone that would go out and you socially felt comfortable going out in that environment. So we saw that trend starting to happen in 2019 and really looked hard into how to actually brew a really good non-alcoholic beer. Then COVID hit, we kind of retracted a little bit, waited for the whole economy to play out, what was going on with the on-premise world in general. But then we came out with our version of a fully fermented, really nice taste profile, non-alcoholic beer, which is a product that's below 0.5%. And that's taken off. It's one of the biggest growing markets nationally for malt beverages. It's exciting because we're in that area. So I think what we're seeing is a trend is that consumers want a choice on how they want to celebrate life. And that doesn't always mean alcohol. And I think we're redefining when you go into someone's home, hey, what would you like to drink? I think the options are going to be much more varied than just one specific style of cocktail or mocktail or beer or non-alcoholic beer. And I think it's really becoming a more inclusive world when we do things like that, because we don't leave people out of the celebration. So I think that's where we're seeing a big change. And at 1820 Brewing, we're seeing tremendous growth. We're seeing the adoption of our products and people really thanking us for coming out with product that tastes like a beer and it just doesn't have all the same effects. And I don't think it's taken away entirely from the beer world, but I think the moderation and people looking for a slightly healthier lifestyle when you're mixing the two, have a beer and then have a non-alc beer and you still feel comfortable and you're enjoying the same flavor profile.
Yeah, we already have calls coming in. I'm going to go to Kendra, who's calling from Rockland. Hi, Kendra, go ahead.
Hello there. I just wanted to say thank you so much for having this conversation. It's really reassuring and I'm really grateful to hear this. I just wanted to say to anyone who's thinking about maybe exploring the holidays without alcohol that you are supported and that I've found from personal experience that it's even more gratifying and I'm able to be more present with everyone and it's just actually more magical than I thought it ever would be. So thank you so much.
Kendra, thank you so much for calling in. How long ago did you make a decision to cut back or not drink?
Well, it was on and off for a while, but permanently about only 4 months ago.
Yeah.
But I've experimented in the past. I like to use the word experiment. It feels less scary to think, oh, I'm never doing that again, instead of thinking, I'm just going to try this time.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do the dry January or sober October and then realize that they kind of liked it. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, in a nutshell, yes. So it seems intimidating, I think, at first. And I just want people to know that there's light on the other side of the tunnel.
Thank you so much for calling in. And Jim Wolak, I'm going to turn to you. And is what Kendra's saying something that resonates for you?
Yeah, and I think I want to go back to something that Alan said about inclusivity. I think there was a time where non-alcoholic beverages carried a certain stigma to them, that when you see someone drinking them, there might be negative connotations to that. But as non-alc beverages have become more mainstream, it's really opened up different settings to a wide range of people. And that includes people who are in varying stages of their own journey with alcohol use and people who are trying to cut back. And it offers up all new opportunities for a new life for a lot of people.
Kendra, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to go right now to Cameron Graham, who's calling in from Bow Street Beverage. Cameron, thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks very much for having us.
I know that Bow Street Beverage sells a huge variety of wine, beer, and spirits, but also a really large selection of non-alcoholic options. Wondering what if you can characterize the growth in that part of your business in the last few years.
Yeah, certainly. We try to have drinks for everyone, whether they're, you know, totally sober or they're trying to lighten it up a little bit, or, you know, if they want the full spirits, beer and wine. And anecdotally, just from our shelves, I have seen our non-elk section grow from, I think, 4 SKUs to just for beer, 3 whole large shelves inside our cooler. It's probably about a fourth of the inside of our cooler right now, which is larger.
So
than
a fourth of the inside of your beer cooler is non-alc or low alcoholic beer. That's really something. And these beverages are hot, right? I mean, they're cold, but they sell quickly.
Yes, they certainly do. There's been a lot of, lack of growth in some parts of the beer sectors, and non-alc beer is not one of them. They've grown at about 30% compared to the full alcohol competition that they're going up against here in the state of Maine.
It seems that Maine craft breweries produce a lot of good non-alcoholic beers. Not completely surprised by that. Would you say that's the case? Are people really wanting to buy the Maine craft non-alcoholic beers?
Yeah, especially in our store here, we see a lot of people putting an emphasis on wanting to drink locally with all of their products. And I think the Maine craft scene was pretty quick to jump on the trend of the alcoholization and all of the other ways that you can make a really good craft non-alc beer.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Cameron Graham with Bow Street Beverage. We do need to take a quick break. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or find us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Going non-alc is our topic today. What to know about the health impacts of alcohol, what it takes to reduce alcohol in your life, and some of the options for non-alc beverages. With me, Alan LaPointe, who is co-owner of 1820 Brewing Company, which makes non-alc beers. Dr. Jim Wolak is a psychiatrist with Maine Behavioral Health who works with people with substance abuse disorders. And Johanna Corman, co-founder of Venus Fizz House, which specializes in natural and non-alc beverages. Share your comments and questions. Send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Jim, I want to turn to you very briefly to talk about a difference between ways in which people may approach non-alc beverages. We use this phrase NA, but they do have a little tiny bit of alcohol. Is the calculation for someone different depending on what their relationship is going into? You know, somebody wants to make a change. Do we need to ask ourselves some serious questions before we start buying a non-alcoholic beer?
The health risks that are associated with alcohol consumption correlate to the amount and the frequency of the intake. And so even just a modest reduction in one's alcohol consumption can have a major impact on their health. So while for a lot of folks, eliminating alcohol from their life is the right way to go, for many others, the right choice for them is to just reduce their overall alcohol consumption. And so NA beverages can be a good option for that. There is a little bit of alcohol in NA beverages, but you would have to consume a lot of them in order to make up what's considered to be a single dose of alcohol. So for calculation purposes, a single dose of alcohol is 0.6 ounces of pure alcohol, or about 1.5 ounces of 80 proof alcohol.
I guess what I'm asking is, I know people who are involved in programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous who, or AA, who are encouraged not to have any beverages that are similar to mm-hmm. alcoholic beverages, that, and you are a psychiatrist, that is part of just reframing one's thinking about drinking generally.
Yeah. So for some people, there are strong environmental triggers for drinking. And it is true that for some folks that having a non-alc beverage could provide a false sense of security and could expose them to other triggers that they might not be aware of. So the adage people, places, and things that are associated with alcohol consumption, for some people, it's better for them to avoid all of those things altogether.
All right, we'll go to Lori, who's calling from Brunswick. Hi, Lori, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I understand the benefits of going non-alcoholic, and you know, it seems like a great idea. But my question is, do we really want to encourage people to drink beverages with a high percentage of carbohydrate that's not really nutritional, given that, according to the CDC, 49.6% of all adults 18 and older have diabetes or prediabetes? What is the impact on their health if people start drinking these? Isn't it sort of similar to people drinking sodas that we know are not good for blood sugar and other health problems?
Yeah, Lori, thanks so much for that question. And let me turn to Alan. I see you nodding. I've noticed that not NA beers have a big variety of carb content. Some have almost none and some have a lot.
Yeah, it really depends. I think the important thing is the transparency of the beverage, right? You have to make sure that you have the nutritional information on there so that consumers are aware of what they're consuming. Obviously, with non-alcoholic beer, most of the calories are in the alcohol side. So most of our products are below 75 calories. So when you look at it from just a caloric intake, you're better off. We don't have any added sugar. It's all normally occurring unfermentables that are in the product. So it's totally understand what the caller's saying. I think you find that a little bit more in your mocktail world. But again, there's a lot of options for people who are diabetic in the non-alcoholic side. You just have to read the labels and you have to be very aware of what you're actually consuming. But there are some alternatives out there, and you don't want to trade one issue for another issue potentially. So it's really about consumer awareness and transparency for the beverage company to make sure that they're sharing all that information, whether there's added sugar, there's not added sugar. There are sweeteners that are out there that are specifically for diabetics. So when you look at the broader category of functional beverages, if you want functional beverages that are going to provide some health benefits, there are plenty of those out there as well. So just read the labels and look for those types of products.
And Johanna, I'm guessing a lot of it is in how they're made. If you're using a simple syrup and you're using tonic water, you're going to have higher carbs than if you're using seltzer and some lemon, squeezed lemon.
Yes, yes. And again, we always, exactly what Alan said, you know, consumers just need to be aware. We try to be transparent with everything. We keep everything very low sugar. We try to, when we had the bar, we always offered, you know, what we called seltzers that had no sugar. You could add your own bitters, seltzers, citruses, and no sweetener if you didn't want to or if you wanted to. It was just always about the choice of the consumer, but being transparent with what they were getting.
Lori, thanks so much for your call. We will go to Biddeford and Elise. Hi, Elise, go ahead.
Hi, yes, I had a question about drinks or patches that you put on prior to drinking that's supposed to get rid of or prevent you from having a hangover. I get ads for those a lot and was hoping someone could just speak to that product in this new drinking environment and kind of what is it actually doing to the body, and presumably it's not getting rid of the more terrible, long-lasting effects of drinking alcohol.
Elise, are these patches being marketed to you? Are these over-the-counter?
Yes, you like order them online. So, you know, I listen to a podcast and it's sponsored by this drink or this patch. And so you can just get them online. Yep.
Funny how that happens. Dr. Wolak, do you know about these? Have you heard about these patches that prevent a hangover, and do they work?
Yeah. So one of the effects that alcohol has is on the bacteria in the gut, and some of them, the way that our bodies break down alcohol, some of the metabolites are very damaging to cells, and that's what it can lead to hangovers. And so many of these products are supplements and are fermented products that are designed to alter your gut biome. And the theory is that it can help break down alcohol more efficiently. But I think these things have been not very well studied, and certainly none of these things have been entered mainstream. Are anything that are being routinely recommended by the medical community.
Elise, thanks so much for the question. I'm going to go to an email here from Paul. Paul writes, I read that many people share this opinion. I drink light beer, but would like to switch to non-alcoholic beer if the price is same, but the price is so far much higher. Alan.
Yeah, the hard part with that is most of your light beer consumers are purchasing the large domestic breweries, and their alcohol products, their non-alcoholic products, or their low alcohol are all going to be less expensive just through economies of scale, production costs, things of that nature. All of our products, though, are pretty affordable. I believe it's $10.99 at a place like Bow Street Market. So it's not it's definitely within the range of what a low alcohol product would be, or a Miller Lite, or those types of products. But it's very hard for a craft brewery to get down to the cost structure of a large domestic brewery when they're producing millions of barrels versus the thousands of barrels that we might be producing. So you're absolutely right. You probably will never get to the exact same price, but you're definitely more supporting a local brand that is still nationally competitive with the typical athletic brewery, people like that, that's out there.
Ellen on Facebook writes, some of the non-alcoholic drinks still do have enough alcohol to count as imitation liquor, which means you still have to be 21 plus to drink them. How could those drinks be renamed to be clear to people who truly want no alcohol in their systems, like anyone pregnant in recovery or with religious exemptions? So this is a little bit of a tricky question for the panel we have. I'll go back to you, Ellen. You have any suggestions on how you'd like to see things labeled?
Yeah, so there is a very good defining difference between a non-alcoholic beer, which is going to be a beer that's below 0.5%. So to kind of piggyback what Jim was talking about, if you have 10 of those, it's like having one 5% beer. So that's the correlation. But for people who don't want any alcohol, but they want the beer flavor, you're looking for what they call an alcohol-free beer. So that's 0.0%. And that is available as well. So there's plenty of options for people that are pregnant, that don't want any alcohol. Again, it's the consumer awareness aspect of alcohol-free malt beverages compared to non-alcoholic beverages. So it's a little bit confusing. In Europe, it's very different because those are all alcohol-free products. So they're below 0.0. If they have trace amounts, that's possible, but it's 0.0% ABV. In the US, we've adopted both alcohol-free labeling as well as non-alcoholic labeling. So that's where the confusion, I think, sometimes can come in.
We'll go to Edward calling from Portland. Hi, Edward, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a new vegan, and as a vegan, interested to know that the Busch non-alcoholic beer, for instance, has 13.4 grams of protein, which is quite a bit. And also, I wanted to ask whether or not, if you ever get caught by a cop and he stops you and you have, you're drinking a 0.0 alcoholic beer, non-alcoholic beer, or 0.5, is that a violation?
Well, Edward, we don't have any law enforcement officers on the program today, but I'm going to put a shout out to anybody who might be listening. If you're a law enforcement officer or a lawyer, you know the answer to that question, call us and let us know. Do any of the three of you know the answer to that question? No. So if you're drinking an NA beer and you get pulled over, is that a ticket? I suspect no, but we'll see if somebody who's an expert calls in. We have an email here from Ruth. What about low alcohol red wine that tastes like red wine? Wish I had the representative from Bow Street on still. Do any of you know? Are there red wines that have gotten as good as the NA beers?
I'm biased, so I'll say no. NA beer stands alone in its quality. I think NA beer has come a really long way from where it was 10, 15 years ago. The technology on how to naturally brew a product. So you still have all those complex flavor profiles that you get for regular beer is very unique and different than I think with the wine. But I haven't had enough of the non-alc wines to really be an expert on if they come to the quality level that the NA beer has.
We'll go to Gorham and Sulafa. Hi, Sulafa. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. How are you? Yeah, I just heard your episode. So me, Sulafa Fadul, we are as a Muslim. It's forbidden in our religion, and it's still Muslim. Some Muslims, they drink it, and it has. In our religion, the God says it has aspect and has benefit, but it affects more than the benefit, so it's forbidden. So it's still people, they know that it's not good for their health, they're still doing, but they still drink it. And I remember when our President Trump, when first elected in 2016, he said he never drink because he saw the effect of the alcohol in his old brother, caught his death. So he said he never drink. That's why he's healthy and in this age.
Sulafa, thank you for calling in, and you bring up some really interesting points. Most Muslims do not drink. Most Mormons don't drink. A lot of faith traditions don't drink alcohol, and also both President Biden and former President Trump don't drink, as well as apparently Vladimir Putin. And Jim, Sulafa brings up the point about the connection between religious traditions and rules about drinking. And I'm wondering if you have thoughts about why that is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there are other examples of how health-related concerns have found their way into religious practice. I think some of the kosher practices in Judaism began as health-related practices, and so I think it really just underscores the interaction of between alcohol and civilization. Alcohol has been around for as long as human beings have been, and it's been an important part of how different cultures have developed.
We are going to take another quick break. We're talking about the non-alc trend. Is this something that you have taken part in? Have you tried Dry January or Sober October or cut out drinking altogether? is, are you a fan of some of the new non-alcoholic drinks out there in the market? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling, what it means to be mindfully sober or to cut down or out on alcohol, and how the non-alc trend has given rise to more beverage options. My guest, Dr. Jim Wolak with the Maine Behavioral Health, Johanna Corman with Vina's Fizz House, and Alan LaPointe with 1820 Brewing Company. Join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to our Facebook page or to Instagram. Dr. Wolak, I'm going to turn back to you for some advice. We are facing the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and then after that, all the holidays that fall in December. As I mentioned, I recently read that tomorrow is the biggest drinking day of the year. So for some people, it's because they've come back home to where they grew up and they're meeting friends at a bar or something like that. But for others, it's because, well, they're dealing with family, and family can be tough. And so they walk into a building and the first thing they do is head for the refrigerator. So I'm wondering if you can just give us some advice on navigating the holidays if you have decided that maybe you don't want to be drinking alcohol during them.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that people can do is just to remain aware and vigilant about different triggers or different things in their environment that could lead to problem drinking. It's very easy when returning to old haunts to slip back into old patterns of behavior, to be when you're around certain people, and certainly in social situations where people can feel a lot of pressure to drink. And so sometimes people really have to make a choice about whether or not it's worth the risk to expose themselves to those situations. And sometimes they're better off finding alternative ways to interact with their loved ones. There's also healthier ways to deal with stress. And so instead of resorting to alcohol, things like exercise, getting fresh air, going for a hike, or engaging in other types of healthy stress reduction methods, those can provide alternative ways to dealing with holiday strain.
And I want to have Alan and Johanna, you all build on this. Alan, I find that bringing my own beverage somewhere is a great little tip. You have others?
Yeah, I would say that's probably the greatest one to bring. I would think is bring one of your favorite non-alcoholic drinks, mocktails, and share that with people. Share the experience that you're having and the enjoyment that you're having by having these beverages. So I think that's probably one. Maybe go a few minutes later, let everybody interact with each other so you're coming in 10 minutes after everybody else. But I do think, Jennifer, what you're saying is probably the best thing. Bring something that you really enjoy, bring plenty of it for other people to enjoy so that they can maybe share with your excitement. Again, this is about creating an inclusive environment where people feel comfortable and they are having any drink. So I think when you share some of the positive experiences you have with other people, I think that makes it more inclusive as well. And it doesn't make the person drinking alcohol feel as awkward either. So it's how do we bring everybody into this together?
I have to say, I really appreciate what you're saying. And I'll go to you in just a second, Johanna, about this inclusive environment. If you're hosting Thanksgiving, if you're hosting a company party, whatever it is you're hosting, people who don't drink really appreciate it if the option is something other than Coca-Cola, you know, or a seltzer. If you walk in and somebody is offering a non-alcoholic brew or a fun punch that is NA, that is so much more welcome than, oh, you're the one who's going to have to go get the soft drink. Johanna, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
Well, just that is, it's so wonderful that there's so many choices now, and the stigma about being the non-drinker has become much, much less. And it's so much easier. You know, we get so many calls from people asking us, how do I make a non-alcoholic punch, or, you know, that is just as good as the alcohol punch, and so that people don't feel that, you know, stigma at all. And we also noticed too that, you know, we do a lot of classes, and the amount of people wanting non-alcohol learning how to make mocktails has really grown. And they're wanting to know how to make those at their holiday parties. So it's wonderful that there are choices now.
Well, given that this is radio, so you're not able to demonstrate on video or in person, I'm wondering if you could give us some tips, maybe a couple simple recipes of something somebody might do this holiday weekend.
Well, we always just say, you know, one, keep it simple. You know, keep it simple. You know, the basic for us, we always use your favorite sweet, which could be, you know, it doesn't have to be sugar. It could be maple syrup or honey, or doesn't have to be, you know, a citrus, something sour, and a seltzer, and kind of keep those three. And that's the real basic. You can kind of do almost equal levels of everything. And then just, you know, add to taste. If you like it sour, add more citrus, you know, or you like it sweet, add more sweet, but keep it simple and then build off it from there. I always think of it as just like being a chef. Start with something simple and then add the ingredients you like, the flavors you like.
Are there some popular concoctions that you find people like to start with?
Well, of course, this time of year, everybody wants to know what to do with cider and cranberry juice, you know, your basic things. One of our big drinks we always had was just, well, it was an alcohol drink that we turned into a non-alcohol drink. And it was just a hot cider with ginger and lots of fresh squeezed lemon and heated up just like a hot toddy. It was like a hot toddy. And then add in your... we put in some orange on the top and clove. That was one of the most popular.
Yum. Okay. I wanted to turn back to you, Jim, and ask, you know, we've sort of talked about the stigma of people, for some people feel when they're not partaking. And I'm wondering, why is that? Why do people feel a stigma if they're not partaking in getting drunk?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for a lot of folks that I've worked with, it has a lot to do with the role that alcohol plays in their own self-image. For many people, it's been a big part of their family life, even from when they may have grown up in a household where alcohol played a prominent role. And I know for many men, there's an association with masculinity and machismo. And there's also this notion of willpower, and that someone who struggles with their alcohol intake somehow is weak. But we know that's not the case, that for many folks, their ability to modulate, regulate their alcohol use is impaired. There's something in their genetics, their body that interferes with their ability to regulate their alcohol intake. And so it's really not about weakness or lack of will. It's much more complicated than that.
And Maureen is going to use the word complicated in her email. She writes, "My mother passed away last month due to her alcohol abuse disorder. It was excruciating to witness her last many years in the grips of this illness. Naturally, it has diminished my interest in drinking. This is probably for the greater good, yet I feel a bit of loss around it, if that makes sense. Complicated." So thank you, Maureen, for that honest email. And we heard from a caller who was very upset and didn't stay on the phone. The caller says, "My daughter died in May due to alcoholism, and we didn't know it. So anyone who can find out or get their loved ones tested before it's too late should do it. As fun as drinking is, there's a sad side. So don't give your friend a bottle of whiskey or beer as a gift. just don't get them hooked. So something else that's really common is to give someone a bottle of wine, a bottle of nice whiskey or something like that as a gift. So some food for thought from this caller. And then Warren called and it didn't have a great connection. So what he wanted to say is, my wife and I own the Walpole Barn near Damariscotta. We sell wine. We think of all the non-alcoholic wines we have tried are really undrinkable, the red ones. But the sparkling non-alcoholic wine is drinkable. So the answer to an earlier caller's question, looking for drinkable non-alcoholic wine. So thank you for that, Warren. I'm wondering, Johanna, there's so many sort of spirit alternatives out there. I think one of the big brands is Seedlip. Is that something that you all have experimented with? Have you have ideas about maybe which are good and which not so much?
Well, yes, Seedlip was the very first one we came across, and this was back when we first, once we were open, probably a year or two. We did experiment with it. I thought it was, I wasn't crazy about it. Ritual is another one that came out, and that one I like better, but I will, full discourse, there's so many new ones out there that I haven't tried. So I can't say much to that. And I'm sure, like anything, they've become better as people have for the demand.
Yeah. We'll go to Mary, who's calling from Berwick. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering if any of your guests has any recommendations for holiday gift giving, because giving Shavas Regal may not be welcome as it used to be. So do any of them have recommendations for non-alcoholic holiday gift giving?
Johanna, I'm sure you have lots of suggestions.
Well, of course, it's Venus Fizz House products, but we make it and lots of Maine products I know that would fill this need. But we make a product that you either add alcohol or you add boiling water, so you can do it either way as a mocktail or a cocktail.
So you're not making a presumption about the person who's going to receive that.
Exactly. And it says it right on it, gives both directions of how to make it either as a mocktail or a cocktail.
All right. And Alan, I bet you have suggestions as well.
Of course we do. I would say if you're looking for a non-alcoholic option to give to somebody, on 1820brewing.com, we have a direct-to-consumer website as well, where you can actually provide somebody with a subscription, and they get to pick their non-alcoholic flavors each month. So it's a gift that keeps giving, and you keep getting unique styles and flavors all throughout the year. So I think that's our solution to people that want to give something that is thoughtful, but gives them an alternative of not having to provide alcohol, which is a common. I mean, we go into a world, right? The first thing people ask is, would you like something to drink? So this is, these alternatives, I think, are really filling a need in that area.
Mary, thank you so much for your call. An email here from Eric. I've minimized my alcohol content for a long time, sometimes going months or years without imbibing, and sometimes just once a week. What really helps is having good non-alcoholic options at social events and bars. When I lived in Boston, there were so many good non-alcoholic options with beer or mixed drinks, and they were always cheaper, which also helped. Since moving to Maine, those options have been harder to find in bars and often more expensive, which is frustrating. So that's a shout out from Eric to bars and restaurants in Maine. He also says, something else I wanted to mention is that my partner is involved with Al-Anon, which is a great resource for children of alcoholics. From Christine, typically stay away from alcohol except for a very occasional glass of wine with a celebratory meal. I recently observed that my tinnitus gets much worse after consuming alcohol, even small amounts. Just wondering if anyone else has had that experience or knows why this might happen. In my quest to avoid alcohol and sugary beverages, my only option has been plain seltzer with a splash of cranberry juice and a simple squeeze of lime or lemon. Having some other options would be great. Jim Wolek, have you heard about that, about tinnitus being exacerbated by alcohol?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a common effect, but alcohol affects all of the major organs in the body, and it has a direct impact, particularly on the nervous system. So it wouldn't be surprising that your caller would experience an increase in her tinnitus.
And that will be our last question today. Thank you all for joining us. The voice you just heard, Dr. Jim Wolak, a psychiatrist with Maine Health Behavioral Health. Johanna Corman, co-founder of Vina's Fizz House. And Alan LaPointe, co-owner of 1820 Brewing Company. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, the world of ukulele music, part of our Passions and Pastimes series, and my colleague Keith Shorthall has been practicing, I understand. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.